Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now our text for this Inwokabit, the first Sunday in Lent, is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the fourth chapter. We will read verses 1 through 11 in that chapter. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 11 in the Gospel of St. Matthew, where we read in the name of our Lord. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, you are so kind. And Father, you chose not to leave us suffering the fruit of our own foolishness, but you chose to restore us in the fullness of all things through the incarnation of your Son. And Father, we pray this day that you would give us the fullness of understanding through your Holy Spirit to realize the restorative work that you have done. And Father, so live in it in amazing grace. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. I don't think we ever grow tired of singing that song. You can go almost anywhere and people can sing that song. Pretty amazing. You know, in bars throughout this country, people will stand up and sing Amazing Grace. And this is where we really come to the point of understanding what God gave to the world. You see, we had to go through, sorry, Jim, you had to read that whole chapter. But the fact of the matter is we need to understand precisely what happened to us. We have to know what took place in the fall of Adam and Eve. And to realize very clearly, this is Adam. That's not a name. It's the Hebrew word for the human. Adam is the human being. And you notice that it's not until after the fall that Adam takes on the name Adam, and then he names his wife separately. She becomes Eve. Before the fall, they're all together just simply one person. They are the human being. You see, this is what happened in the fall. And we think, you know, it's kind of like a cutesy little story. You know, we always have an apple there, and Eve is always like, you know, eat the apple. And all those sort of things like that, you know. No. We don't get it. Satan set out to destroy the human being and succeeded. As soon as Adam named his wife, he admitted his defeat. The human being had been destroyed. Death had entered in. And one of my favorite things is to talk to atheists all the time, because atheists will tell you, well, I don't believe in any of that stuff. And then I tell them, okay, well, let's see you keep yourself alive, you lunatic. There's one sure thing on the face of this earth that shows us that the fall took place. It's death. And even though Houdini said he'd escape it, he ain't been back. He didn't make it. You see, the fall marks us out for death, and there's just no escape from it. I don't care who a person is and what they believe. It can't affect the reality of death. But that's why Anne got the good part. You know, she got to read Romans 5. Because that's the whole point of the remedy, of understanding, well, here's the remedy. Through this one man, it says very clearly, one man, this Ha-Adam, through this one man, death came into the world. And death passed upon all of humankind. He says, but by one man, referring to Jesus, whom Paul calls the last Adam, the last human being, that Jesus the Christ, by the power of Jesus the Christ, life came upon all men, came upon all of humankind. Life came upon all of humanity through Jesus Christ. And he says very clearly, even as... And we understand this. We'll run around. We talk about, oh, yeah, you know about death, you know, and taxes. Oh, for crying out loud. Like, that's supposed to be some sort of great proverb, you know, because we're just so brilliant. Instead of understanding the nature of things, of realizing the sense of death, and realizing even more so the sense of life through the one man who entered into human flesh, being himself the divinity, and delivered us, who were all of our days subject to the power of death. He delivered us and gave us life. And that's why people can get up, even in a bar, and sing Amazing Grace. Because God gave it to the world. He gave it to the world. And he's seeking people to simply acknowledge it and know it, to realize this restoration to life. To live. To understand there is a remedy for death. And the remedy is the blood of God's own Son. It is his life for ours. It is his gift. And you see, this is what takes place in Matthew 5, that we don't understand, that we don't really realize this. Immediately upon being baptized, immediately when Jesus receives the Holy Spirit for us, because he doesn't need it, he's God. He receives the Holy Spirit for us in his baptism. And immediately upon receiving the Holy Spirit, the scripture tells us he was led by that Spirit into a deserted area in order to be tempted by the devil. He was led there to be tempted by the devil because that was God's purpose, was to overcome Satan. When Jesus is led to be tempted, this isn't a chance thing, and it isn't something he's going to fail at. When he is led by the Holy Spirit into that deserted area to take on Satan, it says very clearly, he even fasted for 40 days and 40 nights so that he would not rely on any sort of fleshly strength, but rather it would be simply on the basis of understanding that as the Son of God, he had power over the devil. And that's what we better start realizing. That Jesus the Christ came in to face Satan, and where Adam failed, the last Adam did not. He did not fail. Satan hit him with three big shots, and Jesus didn't even flinch. Because of the power of God that was within him. And that's why he comes to him. If you're honestly the Son of God, you realize this is how Satan does things. Shows up and says, well, if you really are that, he says, well, here's what you better start doing. You know, you better start showing it. You better do some tricks. And that's what we always do with God. Do a trick. You know, we want God to be like Houdini. You know, pull a rabbit out of your hat. Then I'll believe in you. Well, pull a bigger rabbit out of your hat. Because that never works. Because God isn't a trickster. You know, he's not David Copperfield. And David Copperfield doesn't do real stuff. It's all fake. The reality of things is that when God appears, he does greater things than tricks. And he turns around and he tells Satan, yeah, I know I'm hungry, but I aren't doing this for you. Because as a matter of fact, the human being doesn't find its sustenance only in bread. And he quoted that out of Deuteronomy, the last book of Moses, to show very clearly that this is what the Word of God has always established. God doesn't have to do tricks. That was the problem with the Israelites in Deuteronomy. As long as God was doing tricks, then they thought, oh, he's great. As soon as they got away from any of that sort of stuff, then, oh yeah, we better start worshiping these other idols. Because God is not a trickster. God just tells us straight out what he does. And so the second time, the devil takes him, and he does exactly what you would expect him to do. Let's go to Jerusalem. Let's go to a holy site. Let's go to a holy site. We got to do something religious. We got to go to a religious place. We got to do a religious thing. So now we're going to do religion. So now we're going to go to the temple, because where could you get more religious than that? Now we're going to get to the temple. And we're not only going to get to the temple, we're going to go to the highest spot on the temple. Because what could be more religious than that? Now we're going to get real religious. You know, now we're like, climb the mountain, we're at the top, you know, we're as close to God as we can get, you know, all that nonsense that human beings do. And he says to him, he says, throw yourself down. He says, because, honestly, you know, let's face it, we're in a temple. This is as holy a place as you can get. He says, if you throw yourself down, honest to goodness, says right there in the Psalms, and don't think that Satan doesn't know the scripture. He says to Jesus, he quotes to him right out of the Psalm. And he tells him, he says, his angels have been directed to take care of you. If you launch yourself off the top here, nothing's going to happen to you. The angels will show up and they got to take care of you. And they will have to pick you up and make sure you don't even strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus says, don't expect tricks. He says, you don't put God to the test. Again, out of Deuteronomy. So when that doesn't work, the devil takes him again. And now he's going to launch at him everything he's got. Turns around and tells him very clearly. He says, look around. He says, look around everywhere. He says, whatever you see, he says, I'll give it to you. He shows him all the turf that he thinks he owns. And he tells him, just look around. See how beautiful it is? I'll give it all to you. If you fall down, which means in Greek, it means to assume the position of worship. It says, if you assume the position of worship, he says, and you serve me. He says, that's all you have to do. Jesus says, you know, and this is real Greek, says hypage. He says, get out of here. That's what he says. Get out of here. Because in the first place, Satan doesn't own these things. God does. The human being forfeited its right to them. But Satan doesn't own them. They're God's. Jesus says, get out of here. Because he says, the only one who is worth worship is God. He says, the only one you are to worship is God. Again, quoting from Deuteronomy. And now you see what we really miss about that, because what we look at is we look at the temptation of Satan, we say, oh, go do it, Jesus. You know, that's just really great, because we're religious. That's what we look at. We don't realize that was nothing. That was nothing for Jesus to do. Nothing. He's the last Adam. He's the son of the living God. He knows Satan, and he knows what Satan is up to. He knows all of this stuff. And Satan is no match for him at all. What is amazing about this is this last verse. It says, the devil left him, and angels came and ministered to him. Now see, we just kind of overlook that thing. And we don't understand. Well, no, that's the whole deal. The restoration of humankind has taken place. The curse is over. The end of what Jim read out of Genesis 3. That's done. That's done. Now there is no more of this. This is not the way we live any longer. Now, as a matter of fact, all of creation has been restored. What was subject to nonsense has now been restored, beginning with us. Because we're the ones that messed it up. And it became necessary that it first be restored to us. You see, we're being lied to. We're being lied to by our own senses. We're being lied to by everything around us. We do not realize when God restored the Holy Spirit to humanity, that he restored everything, everything that Adam and Eve had. He restored everything to them. And he not only restored it, but he made it better. Because now it's an eternal gift through Jesus the Christ. And we're being lied to constantly throughout our world. You understand what's happening. Is Satan cannot win this battle. As a matter of fact, he already knows that he's lost. He lost. He knew right as soon as he walked away from there, that's it. I lost. But Satan hates us. He hates us. Well, good for you. And this is the whole point, is realizing very clearly, he hates us. And because he hates us, He is bent on our destruction. And what he does is turn us away from the only thing that saves us, which is amazing grace. It's amazing grace that saves us. It's realizing very clearly that it's grace, grace, that delicious five-letter word that gives us life, that makes us free to be what we are and to live as we are in this world and to see the world in the way that God gifted it to us to be. See, what Satan has done is he's made us afraid of each other. We're afraid. We're afraid to talk to people. We're afraid of what's going to go on in the world. We're afraid. We're afraid of everything, for crying out loud. And if there's something that we're not afraid of, somebody will invent it, because there's people that are wandering around just with a sense of dread in their heads. They're not sure what they're scared of, but they're scared of it. And you find that anywhere for me in the scripture. The scripture says very clearly, perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in God, St. John writes. Satan has lied to us, and we bought the lie. And this is why we need to begin to live as restored and understand very clearly, we are not to fear. We are to go into this world with the love of God in Jesus Christ and minister to people, because the only thing that gets them out of that fear is amazing grace, is the love of God in Christ Jesus that awakens a person to the truth and brings them to the reality of things. I ain't scared of you, because Jesus died for you. Jesus loves you. Jesus gave himself in order to purchase all of our redemption. I ain't scared of you. I just want to tell you and make sure that you got it. You know, that you got the blick, that you realize very clearly this is what happened. Jesus overcame the devil. And he overcame sin and he overcame death. So that the power of his blood, we would simply live. That we would live in peace. That we would live with that grace. And that grace would season what we say and what we do with other people. Have you ever made a mistake? I feel bad for you. I never have. We all make mistakes. We mess up in life. We do it all the time, as a matter of fact. And I realize that getting to be 67, I'm even better at it. And as a matter of fact, the only good thing about it is many times I forget that I did it. But there's grace. You see, there's grace. In social media, there's no grace. There's no grace. You're an idiot. And if you don't think you are, there's enough people on social media to tell you you are. Because Satan wants our destruction. All these answers that politicians are coming up with, they aren't going to solve anything. The only thing that solves anything is the amazing grace of God in Jesus Christ that enters the heart of a human being and begins to see other people as human beings. They have received the same salvation. And start to understand and start to look and have the compassion of God. Do you ever wonder why there's all those animal videos all over the place? I love those things. You know, I'm a sucker for every one of them. You know, my administrator at the seminary, she must love those things because I have to go into her Google account in order to do my Zoom stuff. When I go in there, I get bing, 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 all these animals, you know. This puppy came up looking for help, you know, and stuff like that. And here I am sitting there. I got to be doing my seminary classes, but do I read them? Yeah, I read them. Because God loves all that he created. And in each one of those stories, God is trying to show us what he has done. And Satan is trying to blind us. That we won't see the mercy, the compassion, and the love of God. St. Augustine, I think it is, says, if you won't have mercy on a dog, how are you ever going to have mercy on anybody? You see, within us, through the finished work of Jesus Christ, is the Holy Spirit of God who works in us because we've been restored to have a spirit of compassion. I understand mistakes in life because I got a ton. And if you want to show me your laundry list, I will never do this with you because I think it's stupid. But people sit there and compare laundry lists. If you want to compare laundry lists, I think mine's longer. But I'll tell you right now, in the mind of God, your laundry list doesn't exist. God took it all away, and he put it all under the blood of his Son so that you would be able to live, and so that the person next to you would be able to live, and the person around you would be able to live, and the people out there would be able to live, so that even the people in the bar can stand up and sing Amazing Grace. Because God forgets no one. And he turns away no one. So welcome to Lent. Understand the goodness of your God. Understand his grace. And when you sing that song, mean it. Because he meant it. It's amazing. His grace is for you, and his grace is for me, and the grace is for anyone who will come. His grace is for all, and his grace will lead us home. And you may have heard that before. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we look to you for grace. And we find it because you are gracious and you are compassionate and your mercy endures forever. Continue to show us the same, please, because we so desperately need it. But Father, work in us too, to be your instruments, to bring the same to your world, that it may know your restoration and come to you in peace. Grant us this, Father, for the sake of him who so willingly faced our death took it upon himself with all of our sin and raised us up in new life, free of sin and of death, that we would live with you forever. Do it for his sake, Father. For it is in the name of Jesus the Christ that we pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.